Welcome to the Disciple Nations podcast. We are so glad you're joining us today. It's 2023. Here we are again. We're restarting a podcast, aren't we?
That's it. Let's do it again.
We did a first round. You and Jason had some awesome conversations.
Yeah.
Then we picked up and we did about, 8 to 10 episodes. And then this little thing called COVID hit.
You might have heard about it.
Yeah. And so that was 3 years ago. And a lot's happened since then. You've moved again. So where are you living
now? Three times. But yeah, we're in Plainview now.
You're living in
Plainview.
With
some of our team that's living in there doing house churches and missional living. So
yeah. And then 2021, I wasn't expecting it. And we're living at a cabin my dad built in honor of my brother. And so we're living in Hillsborough with Kingdom Equip and partner with Jesse. So yeah, lots happening.
But you just can't get over your Mennonite-ness.
I'm here. So yeah, we want to just jump in, and we've been kind of talking about this for a while, and
yeah,
we're restarting this, and so yeah, we're glad you're here, and we want to just restart and kind of talk about who is Disciple Nation. Sometimes it's hard for people. Who are you guys? What do you do? So we thought, take some time, Sam, just unpack your story.
Yeah.
And so I think the first part is just you're a prayer discipleship guy. Tell us briefly how that prayer journey started for you.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I'm saved at 10, called at 12, Southern Illinois, go to 3 colleges in 4 years, marry Amy. We end up in El Dorado through a journey. Yeah. And we somehow, through the book of Daniel, got stirred up about him praying 3 times a day.
Okay.
So morning, noon, and night. There might have been some other inspirations. I can't remember what they were, but we really cut our teeth on just praying like 15 prayer meetings a week. And then we do some all-night prayer meetings, you know, those kinds of things. And we just, in the midst of prayer, learned to hear the voice of the Lord, learned how to be close together, and prayer became one of our in the 90s is when this was. 1993, we started doing that.
Yeah.
Through about 97 before I left and started coming to Wichita.
Okay, so it's this prayer part, and there's a lot we could unpack in future episodes. I'd really love to just talk about prayer in this heart. But then the other side is your discipleship. You love, obviously, the Bible. You love teaching.
Yeah.
So then talk a little bit about your church journey in that then with discipleship.
Yeah, and how we're meeting on Sundays and doing the worship and, you know, teaching and preaching thing. And but the primary thing I'm doing is prayer meetings and meeting with individuals like I did with you when we met.
Right,
I'm just meeting with guys alone and discipling them, and then they end up discipling other people. So I always say I've been a two-note song forever, a prayer and disciple-making, which is in our DN vision.
Yeah. So, and so you came to Wichita for a little bit. You're, you know, in some church structures.
Yeah.
That's kind of a longer journey, but you end up back in El Dorado.
That's right.
And you started this thing called Equip.
Yeah.
And so what was that initially?
Yeah, it was just, you know, I'd come out of a 4-year journey of kind of being non-institutional. I don't know if I was anti-institutional, but was just seeing kind of the brokenness of the church structure for me. And much of it was in me and in the structure. And I just got really, my pendulum swung way strong. I even had to kind of come back a little bit. You know, you always overreact when something happens, but I did get passionate about Jesus is the builder of the church and that we're supposed to make disciples and equip the saints. So we started that experiment in 2004 called New Life Equipping Ministry.
Yeah.
And so we started this, and I tell people at nauseam, I was always saying, you're the church. This isn't church. You're the church. Because we were always feeling jealous about that. And they said, what we're going to do is we're going to disciple you. We're going to help you go deep in Jesus in union with him. And the preordained works, Ephesians 2:10, before the foundation of the earth for you, we're going to help unpack that and so raise you up. And so we did that, and we moved around some locations. People started joining us, but people started birthing ministries. They didn't care if it was a house church, pregnancy care center, orphanages in Ghana. All these kind of things kept coming up out of people that they were carrying, and that was really what we did. We helped people discern the vision of Jesus for their life and get them moving in it.
Yeah, so as I've kind of just thinking about your life, maybe one way to summarize, 90s foundation of prayer, discipleship.
Yep.
Then we get to 2010 and it's, or no, 2000, sorry, 2000s.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit, okay, this equipping aspect of discipleship.
Ephesians 4, 11, 12, we'll do a thing on this, but equipping the saints for the work of ministry.
And so we do that, the DNA, you wrote these booklets. Yep. I remember when I started walking with you, you had all these books. That really, the foundation of your theology, wouldn't you say those first 15 to 18 years, I think it was set when I've heard you, right? A lot of those amazing moments, right?
Yeah, big time. And we found out what our primary messages were. I heard a preacher say one time, I've got 5 messages. I preach it 500 ways. But it's really always one of those 5 themes. So we did the booklets. We've done the deals, and we've carried some of those messages.
So Lord's Prayer, body, soul, spirit, the kingdom.
Spiritual gifts.
All of that comes.
That's right.
Okay, so now then what we want to bring up then is this transition to Disciple Nations. Okay, so then 20...
2011. We're 7 years into the experiment. My dad goes over to shoot the gap for some orphanage house parents. They want to take a break for 3 weeks. So he goes over at 68, pacemaker, overweight, goes to Ghana, his pastor, everybody's telling him not to do it, with my stepmom, goes over, fifth day over there in Ghana on the beach. He dies of a heart attack right on the beach. Eight orphans with him. They're all walking. My stepmom got a picture of him 5 minutes before he died. Right. And so he dies. As you can imagine, it takes us a little bit to get him out of Africa back. I do the most profound funeral of my life. And then Amy and I go away to Ottawa to kind of a pastor's retreat place. And we're waiting on the Lord. And we, at that point, it had grown quite a bit. The equipment, we were in a middle school in El Dorado, piling up with people. And they were driving from different towns. And the Lord speaks specifically to our heart in the midst of my grief. Isaiah 54, stop piling up the equipping ministry in one location, multiply equipping ministries, and I want you to start this thing called Disciple Nations out of the Great Commission.
And that name, that phrase, just...
I stole it from the Great Commission because I was so committed to disciple making, you know? And I'd been aware a little bit of DMMs, the disciple making movements, you know? And so I was just so stirred by this, the global mandate of the resurrected king is what I called it. Yeah. This was going to be the transformational plan after he resurrects from the dead to change the whole earth. So I just named this thing Disciple Nations, this awkward name. We get it. A lawyer does it for free for me, makes it a 501c3 in 2012. And it just kind of sits there.
It just
there.
Sat there. For yeah. You had a website?
I had a website. Jonathan Brickley's on there, a couple other guys in our El Dorado group. And we just kind of sits there for about 3-4 years. And I would go and preach in different places. I went to actually South Dakota, Keystone, South Dakota, Mount Rushmore, multiple times because I had a buddy up there that was bringing international leaders from India, Asia, some from Africa. And we would train them in how to make disciples. He was doing most of the disciple making multiplication stuff. I would go up there with Jonathan and we would train them how to hear the Spirit, minister to them in that, and train them in prayer.
Yeah, that's me. So I just want to just a quick pause on a point. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Your dad, who there was brokenness in a marriage, but he gets right with the Lord.
Yeah.
And why the Lord sends him, and it's interesting, he passes there.
In Ghana.
And I'm thinking this verse, right, in John, where unless a grain of seed, right, grain of wheat, right, this wheat, it passes, it dies.
Yeah, it cannot bear fruit. It
can't bear fruit.
Yeah.
And so here's your dad. Before that, were you even thinking about the nations at all?
Not very much. My brother was thinking about it, and we'll get him on here. He was always thinking mission. So that was a little bit in my radar, but not much.
You're praying, you're discipling, and here's your dad going, and suddenly something happened to your heart.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting. Here we are sitting, Sam, on June 16th when we're filming this, and my brother passed away 15 years today. And that's a whole nother story, but it's interesting, out of his life is why we're doing...
In a missions field, he dies.
He dies, same thing. Yep. And now I'm doing Kingdom Equip, this mission, 15 years later. And so it's just interesting kind of how God would take grief and suffering, but specifically people in our lives dying on the field. And it actually... Would you say that moment was what birthed something new?
Yeah, it was, because I was in that point of weakness and grief. We're at this thing. I'm just going to grieve a little and pray. And here comes these things of like, move out of El Dorado, multiply this and start this thing called Disciple Nations by faith. And it was so clear to me and to Amy, my wife.
Yeah.
And so we did that by faith. But it was a very ripe time.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And it became a seed that now is growing and fruitful.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get to 2015. Yeah. You're praying, and by this point, you're connecting with prayer ministries all over. You've got some, friend here in Wichita. He invites you trip. At the time, I was like, I bet Sam loves flying, and you do not like to fly.
Not at all.
You don't, as much as you love people and doing things, you don't like to travel.
Oh, no. I'm not flying the plane, so control issues. It's a prayer request. Yeah.
And so here you are on this trip. You're going to Southeast Asia.
Yes.
You're just on a trip. You're connecting with people. And something happens.
Yeah, it was a crazy deal that I was even there with. But Steve Miller, our friend at China Harvest, was invited me to go. We had just met. I had heard that they had got a container of food. I helped a food ministry out east pack food, and they'd get around the world. And they got a container of food into Vietnam. Yeah. And the communist government was shipping the containers of food to the churches. And they could serve. They had churches that had legal property.
Yeah.
And they were handing out food and leading people to Jesus.
Wow.
It was like partnership with the
communists.
Yeah. I go, I got to know who's doing that.
Yeah.
So I find Steve Miller.
Yeah.
We meet for the first time at Great Harvest Bread. We're sitting there talking about his ministry, how that happened. And then Miller goes, you know what? I feel a little stirred. I'm going to go. This is February of 2015.
So literally, your first time meeting this guy.
He says, I feel a little stirred. I'm going to go to South Korea with some people in May. It's called May Day. And we're going to strategize about how to reach North Korea. Well, I knew North Korea is the number one persecuted place. I'm like, well, number one, I don't fly very much. You know, I don't want to go to Asia. That's a long flight. So I'm like, kind of like, yeah, thank you. And I did my nice thing like I'll do with people. That's great. I'll pray about that. So anyway, I go home. I talk to Amy. And Amy's convinced.
You got to go.
You're supposed to go to this. And then I prayed about it. I paused and went, yeah, dadgummit, I'm supposed to go on this. So I get on the plane. I go over. We do 2-3 days in a secluded. I mean, we got missionaries from China with scars on them.
Wow.
From North Korea. It was unbelievable stories. I couldn't believe I was sitting with these people. Like
heroes of the faith.
Yeah, amazing. 3 days. Yeah. Then we go into the DMZ and we slip into North Korea.
So you actually stood.
Yeah, went in there through a building, guards there with guns. I'm standing behind my buddy. using him as a body shield, you know, but we go in and we cross over the line and we pray, kind of a roaring prayer, then get out, go to China before we come home.
So here you are the last night.
Yeah, 2-3 days. And the last night I'm with Steve and we're reminding each other of all the words we knew. He and I were old enough that about 20 to 25 years of words that we had seen God do. I mean, tremendous things and say about Kansas. Our faith is roaring up. I'm going to catch a plane the next day. Come back to Kansas.
Yeah.
And the Lord slips this phrase, forms it in my heart. There's global consequences for what you do with prayer in Kansas. And I was like, I was so fixated with North Korea, South Korea, missions.
And
I
mean,
so,
and
suddenly the Lord's talking about Kansas. And I'm like, my heart rises. I'm like, I got to get home, get on the plane in Shenyang, go back through Beijing, get back for a daughter's graduation. And then, you know, I started.
Yeah, you call me.
I call you.
Eight, 10 prayer leaders.
Yes.
We meet back at Great Harvest. That's a whole nother story. Yeah. The connection
start
there.
Start gathering some
pastors. Great Harvest, we can just this
amazing.
Name,
yeah, exactly.
Right? And here we are. And you meet Dennis and these guys. And we're realizing Dennis has his heart. Dennis Turner and Stan.
Stan Vandenberg at Eastminster Presbyterian. I barge into a prayer meeting, tell them the story. 4 or 5 guys there. And Stan points at me. Call the city together.
Yeah. And so we have these meetings. Remember those? And that's, we start walking together.
Yeah.
Then in fall, we joined together. And I remember just, we're walking together. We're like, we're just going to do a prayer meeting at First Baptist. Now we're City Life. And is it going to just be one meeting? And what, 70 people?
70 leaders came in there. Yeah. And we prayed. It was like heaven. Yeah. I mean, we're there with all these denominations and something's happening. And they're like, well, let's do this again and open it to the city. One thing leads to another. There's about 30 of these things that happen all around the city. That's another story.
The prayer movement.
That's the prayer movement track.
But in the middle of that, so now I'm walking. I got to tell this a little bit.
Matt Pinner.
Yeah. So here I am. I'm with World Impact. And so there's a longer story to get to this moment. But I would talk to Sam. Mm-hmm. I'd interview him. And I was like, this guy's got it all figured out. He's leading this great minute. He's got a website. I did not know the other side of this.
That I didn't know anything? You didn't know that yet?
No, you knew stuff. But, okay, but about, you know, an organization. And so then... Yeah, I would ask, and he just look. You had booklets, you had mission. I'd meet with you, or you're like, yeah, I'm doing these 8 things. I'm like, man, DN is a thing,
right?
And so we get to March,
7 people on it,
and maybe a couple of people are friends, Josh and Stacy, and others, of course. But and I call you, and yeah, the Lord does another story, and I start asking you questions, and I literally could hear you putting the brakes on. Kind of like we had moved this far and you're like back. So wait a second. You'd call me back. You'd say, you know, we're not a thing. Or I'd say, what about my health insurance? Do I get days off?
Because you're talking about a transfer from your mission organization to this one.
And you're like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
You go, what am I going to do every day?
What do I do?
And you're going to tell me what to do. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
So then we show up and you call the first Disciple Nations meeting. April, and I think I'm coming to an established team. You
know, right.
James and Stephanie are there.
Right.
There's 30 people in the room. And I'm like, wow, I'm joining. This is awesome. I didn't realize that was the first Disciple Nations.
Absolutely. Well, you met Josh and Stacy.
I met Josh and Stacy.
You bridged them to me, said, here, take them. And then you join.
Yeah.
And then it opened the floodgates.
And so here's the phrase, though. Help me say it. You said a spiritual family became a missional organization.
We did. And what we would say now is we're a missional family that has some organizational tools.
Yeah.
And so that's what I was like, this is family. If we connect at the heart level, and then I've got some organizational tools that'll help if you need to do the thing of raising funds and this and that, but we're going to highlight family over everything.
But really, just to be very clear what had happened, here we are 2016 now, and I just had met you a year, James probably a few years,
right.
And some of us, but really, we're talking a 25-year history or more at this point. And and honestly, Sam, you were just raising sons and daughters.
Yeah.
You're being faithful to the Great Commission. You're doing it. And it was just, I would just say, an appointed time.
Yeah, I think
Don't you think
it was this moment? I do, because what started coming was more equippers like yourself and James. Yeah. I was doing this with every believer I could find, was raising them up, becoming a father, raising up sons to minister and mission, not under me, but under Jesus, you know? And so then I start meeting all these leaders. Yeah. That's what happened. This whole covey of leaders comes in, and we've got a way where we can support and we can help them.
Okay, so let's just go over, walk us through some of just the main points. If somebody's saying, what is Disciple Nations? Like, what is the core? What is the bedrock? When you say I think we can use the word the theology. What is burning, not just in your heart, but in the mission of who we are in this team? So what are some of these core things, Sam, for Disciple Nations?
Yeah, I think we're a high supremacy, high Christology focused family, which is really important to me. It's in our vision statement. We want to see the spreading the supremacy of Christ everywhere by igniting those two things, movements of prayer and disciple making. What I came to find out was those are big buckets. At the beginning, I thought I was just going to have DMM guys, guys who would start disciple making movements in the nations, maybe locally too, And then the Lord starts re-emphasizing through the prayer movement and other things, like prayer is the first mandate, the church being a house of prayer. So that's how we begin to develop that statement. Increase it. We're high Christology, high supremacy, word and spirit people. We're high Bible. I always say it. I'm joking. I'm a Bible guy,
Right.
And we love the Holy Spirit. I'm an evangelical that loves the empowerment of the presence of the Spirit. And so that's kind of the niche of where we are. It's called third wave in missiology. In the old days, but that's the kind of people we are that have some values that are high value on family. This isn't better than anybody else. It just is how we operate. We have a high value on sonship. When you said to me, are you going to tell me what to do every day?
Correct.
I'm like, no, I'm not. Right. I'm going to help you hear what to do every day. Yeah. Then you're going to do that because you don't have a work ethic issue. You burn for a mission. If you got a work ethic issue, I'm not even sure you're called. You know what I mean? You had that. I just had to help you hear the commands and vision of Jesus in your life. And so I like to say a lot of times I'm a kingdom midwife, helping guys and gals birth their vision and their call in the midst of that. So that's what I think we are. We're a missional family, organizational tools that's walking together, spreading the supremacy of Christ everywhere we go.
And so just practically on our team, I mean, there's people like you and I that are full time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a number of us, but that's actually not the majority.
No.
Lots are. We have people full time. They're doctors.
That's right.
They're praying at home. We have
business leaders.
Business leaders. It really is this family. And for some people, they're raising support. This is their avenue. And some accountability
And some people would call that full time and tent making. Yeah. We don't make that distinction on our team. The assignment and call is what makes the distinction. Where your funds come. So I remember back in the day when I was younger, they said, you can come to this pastor's meeting if you're full time. And I was thinking at that point, like, Paul couldn't come to this meeting.
He's working.
The Apostle Paul is making tents. So we've worked hard at making no distinction. So whatever it is, 100 folks or so on our team, and two-thirds of them, I bet, have other ways that economics come in.
Okay, and let's say another way. One of our, again, I don't know if the word vision, mission, but about the Great Commandment. So that's a big part of our language as well, isn't it?
Yeah, we're locked in on the Great Commandment and then doing the Great Commission out of that. Yeah, so loving the Lord God first, and that's a big deal to us. That's why prayer precedes the mission, It's the Antiochal model. They're first ministering to the Lord there, and then they send out Paul and Saul on the mission. It's God first, then people second, if you will.
Yeah.
And so the Great Commandment is our great focus, and then we want to see the Great Commission come. So the supremacy of Christ spreads everywhere. And in the midst of that, what we found out in the prayer movement is there was this unity thing that was developing again. And I don't know why it surprised me. I always tell people it surprised me how much unity happened between the pastors. And as I thought about my history, 35 years of history, I'm like, this is my third iteration of this. Yeah.
Yeah.
I started youth ministry with some young leaders when we were 19 back in Illinois. And when we did it, we were doing it multi-denomination. We'd move from church to church to church, different one every week. And we had a name for it. We had a vision statement, all this. I'm 19 and we're thinking big church.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm in El Dorado in the 90s, or maybe that was the 2000s, I think it was. And we had a time where a bunch of churches shut down and met out at the Butler County Gymnasium and did Sunday morning, the Sacred Cow. They shut their services down.
Wow.
I'm like, because we were working through the Ministerial Alliance on unity. Then this thing happened. I'm like, oh, I'm doing what I love.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about that quite a bit, and we're, 2016, we're in it, and you're old, one of your guys at World Impact, to me, Don Davis, who we love, him and Al Ewart, we just love those guys. But I go into Dr. Don Davis, and I kind of have a word for him, a challenge around another area, and it was awesome, and he was receiving that, and he said, hey, before you go, can I say something to you? And this has become a thing for our team.
Yeah, it became.
Yeah, he said, you and Disciple Nations are like Joshua. And I'm looking at him, what's he saying? You're like Joshua, you're from one tribe, but you're for all the tribes. He says, some guys are making sure their tribe is inheriting the land, using the metaphor of Israel. Yep. They're trying to get their inheritance and their allotment. That's not you guys.
Right.
You're up on the cliff looking and making sure everybody gets their land. When he said it, my heart, I was in that Toomey office, so my heart was just burning. And I told him, I said, you have no idea what that means.
That's a word. That's a name. That means
something.
It's like
2017 he's doing with this with me. Yeah. In 2010, pre-coming to Eldorado, to Wichita, prayer movement, anything, I'm back in El Dorado, and the Lord speaks at the end of the year, like Joshua, I want you to help the church inherit.
Wow.
I went, I have no idea what that means. I'm in El Dorado, but I'm going to write that down. And I wrote it down. The next year, we get pregnant with our ninth kid. We have a boy. We name him Joshua.
Joshua
is like Mark. Oh, when Don said, I went, oh my gosh, this is the destiny of my call in life. And what I think DN is we're for the whole body of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, we're from one tribe. We're for all tribes. So we find ourselves with lots of different denominations. I get to spend a lot of my time with other people, and we're just trying to support them and stir up a high Christology, you know, a revelation or an acknowledgement of the presence of the Spirit in a prayer culture and for them to be on mission making disciples. Many of them are already doing that. I'm not saying they're not, but we're just kind of throwing gasoline on the spark.
Well, and I think something that has really, maybe even in the last 2 years, taken deeply root, Sam, and I've known this for a while, but you don't give anybody a job description. And there just isn't. We're not coming to work for Disciple Nations. And there just isn't. We don't have strategy meetings. We're not sitting down. And, can we do this? Mm-hmm. What you're trying to do is, again, walk with sons and daughters. There's mission on them. You're trying to help get them in sonship, get them to hear the voice of God, all these things. And out of that, mission happens, ministry happens. And so as I think of Jesus's ministry, it's interesting. Jesus didn't give us strategies. How do you go reach this city?
Yeah.
How do you go? Like, I don't actually know. If somebody came, how can I go reach my town?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You're the Lord, but we can talk about the DNA of the kingdom, can't we?
For
I just think that's something that we want to, the purity, loving God, staying in all these things, sonship. And then how do you flesh that out in a church?
Right.
How do you flesh that out in many, many different wineskins? Is that a way to say
that? It's what I'm doing
that?
With every, I think it is. And what I'm saying is that we say Spirit-led. A lot of times we'll say Spirit-led in the church. What does that mean? You know, but I think we're operating under a conviction that the Holy Spirit is the primary leader of the church. He's the primary leader, the greatest missionary, the greatest intercessor on the planet. Yeah. And he's in us. So when I'm unpacking, this is the practicality of being led by the Spirit. I'm unpacking people and trying to be a tuning fork to calibrate them with the leadership of the Spirit. I think he already knows what he wants to do.
Yeah.
They're in Antioch ministering, worship, and fasting. Yeah. And it says the Spirit said, out of five guys, send those two.
Yeah.
Those two. It could have, what's wrong with the, I don't know. One time Paul's going to Bithynia and the Spirit says, don't, it resists him.
Yeah.
It's the leadership of the Spirit that's the greatest missional strategy on the planet. So we're trying to put, you know what I mean, rubber to the meets of the road in practicality in our leadership. This is our modus operandum. This is the way we operate, is the leadership of the Spirit in practical ways, increasing sensitivity. So lastly, I consider myself like an executive pastor.
Yeah.
Jesus is the senior pastor of our team, the city, whatever. I'm just executive pastor. Yeah. I'm just kind of communicating the vision and making sure the specialists are linked with his vision. I don't have to come up with the vision. I don't, you know what I mean? Some guy asked me yesterday, I was with a main leader in our city yesterday, and he goes, what do you see the Spirit doing for the next 2-3 years? Yeah. I go, I have no idea. Here's a couple of things I see happening. He's more committed to this than any of us right now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to set the table, put the wood on the altar, and let the fire fill it.
Because
I don't want the leadership of this thing. I want the Spirit to lead it.
Amen. That's so good. Well, we're going to wrap up our first one. If you have questions about, you know, Disciple Nations, they can go to our website.
That's
they can message us on a Facebook page or something.
DiscipleNations.net.
Yeah.
DiscipleNations.net. And then we are on Facebook.
Yeah. And so, well, it's great. Thanks for joining us. think our next episode, we're going to talk about Samuel a little bit.
That's right. So, and that call.
And then
team.
You are just the Unity. I wanted to mention for a plug, you are going to start another podcast, aren't you?
That's
maybe
right.
Conversations on this thing of Unity, aren't
you? One of the multiple dimensions of agreeing with John 17, our King praying. Yeah, we're going to do a John 17 podcast. I'm going to interview pastors from around the city from different places, and we're just going to try to blast it and let the city know who their leaders are so that there's a greater connect.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, yeah, thanks for joining us.
Awesome.